Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Operation Confidence Radio Talk Show, America's Invisible Heroes, with Consuela Mackey, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to America's Invisible Heroes, a show dedicated to our veterans and their families. And yes, I'm your host, Consuela Mackey, Executive Director of a grassroots nonprofit organization called Operation Confidence. For those who may be new to the show, American Invisible Heroes strives to provide a platform for veterans to be able to share their experiences, heartfelt stories, resources, challenges, and accomplishments. Now I'd like to introduce you to my wonderful co-host, Air Force veteran and Operation Confidence board member Matt Davison, U.S. Army Reserve and board member Charles Whitehead, our announcer and board member Brooke Gadaski, Taylor Marcella, also a board member and an announcer, and Chaplain Wendy Childress. She has a monthly segment called Family Wellness, Living Life Completely. Good afternoon to you all, and welcome Facebook Live viewers and LA Talk Radio listeners.
Hello, everyone.
All right. I'd like to now turn it over to Matt to share his informative information.
Thank you, Connie. I would like to start by talking about the veteran service officers who always have your backs when you need them. And I'm going to quote Lynette Bonin, who says, "I like it when a veteran can come into my office and we sit down, file a claim together, and navigate the system together. And I like being able to see their face when the decision is favorable and know that I was able to help them from start to finish receive something that they deserve. My job entails assisting veterans or their dependents or widows with claims for benefits with the Department of Veterans Affairs or any educational benefits or debt issues that they may have. I represent veterans in the appeal process, represent those clients in front of the Board of Veterans Appeals. I also have assisted with teaching classes to our county VFW service officers and have participated in stand downs and outreach throughout the state offering assistance." In everything she does, Bonin finds the biggest challenge is keeping up with changes with the VA, always staying on top of the new documents, programs, regulations. Seems to require a constant effort, but she knows it's worth it to be ready for whatever each day may bring. I don't know if there's such a thing as a typical day when you're an advocate for veterans. The day may be just returning emails or phone calls, or a day of scheduled appointments or walk-ins. Some days are full of scheduled hearings. Other days it's just listening to that veteran because he or she simply needs someone to listen. I do this job because I love what I do. And if any of you are in need of a veteran service officer, all you need to do is to go on to info@operationconfidence.org, the resources page. There's all the information there for the various veteran service organizations. And a phone number you can call to get in touch with your veteran service advocate. And that's information for today.
All right. Thank you so much, Matt. Now, Taylor, please introduce us to our first guest for today.
Sure, Connie. I would like to introduce Albert Campos, who served in the United States Navy from 1972 to 1976. He was stationed in Patuxent River, Maryland, at the Naval Air Station with an air squadron. Albert was also stationed at Port Hueneme with CB base assigned to the Finance Center. He loves to work out and is a Hall of Fame and Paralympic wheelchair basketball players. Welcome, Albert.
All right, thank you.
All right, Albert. So, just to give you a little hint of Albert and I played basketball together for a long time, and you know, Albert's a good friend of mine, and we are also business partners. So, but what I'm going to do first, Albert, is ask you, what was your job duty in the Navy?
I used to do their payroll for the Air Squadron, and basically it. And then they had me sometimes as a observer on the plane. I wouldn't have any technical jobs or responsibilities. I'd just be one of the aft observers, making sure everything was clear on that side and the back, and relay it up to the pilot. But we were mostly a training squadron, and we would train pilots in the P-3. It's an Orion. It's a aircraft that's used for deploying buoys, for sonar buoys, for tracking submarines.
Okay, cool. And did you? So you started off doing that, but didn't you say you went to a different MOS or, you know?
Yeah, I went to the CB base there at Port Hueneme, California. And there, because they had me already assigned to doing payroll, they just assigned me to their finance office. And I would just do military personnel that were in transit. So a lot of guys and gals come in on their leave and they want to get some paid. With that time, it wasn't direct deposit. They would carry all their records with them. And one of their records was their payroll record. And we just calculate their pay for that time that they were away and pay them on the spot.
So, oh, okay. That was cool. Cool. So Albert's a Paralympian. You know, tell us what year you were in the Paralympics, and you know, a little bit. You know, we're gonna go through a host of quick things here because, you know, the interview can't be too long. But tell us, you know, what year were you doing? Were you out there, and what kind of achievements have you accomplished?
Whoa, well, you know, I was first of all, a little history. I was injured 10 days after my discharge from the service. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, I had a skill already to play basketball. I had a love and passion for that. And I was introduced to that there at Rancho Los Amigos, where you work, Charles. And from there, I was directed to start participating with the group in Santa Ana. But it was too far, the commute. And then fortunately, the local hospital here in the Inland Empire opened up a team, and I started playing with them. And to fast forward with that team in 19, well, you were also a part of that team, Charles. The Casa Clina Condors, we were able to win 8 national championships. And we had numerous players on that team that were Hall of Famers and also played on the Paralympic team. Dave Kiley, Curtis Bell, Jim Miller, and of course myself. But that was 1988, and that was one of the highlights of my basketball career, of course, reaching that level and being able to compete. I've always dreamed as a child to participate in some big athletic event. I was always marveled at the Olympics, and I still am today. So it was an honor and a privilege to serve my country that way. And it's nothing like watching your flag at the ceremonial event when you receive your medal. It was very, very touching.
Wow. Congratulations on that. That's amazing. Thank when you. Was that? What year was that?
1988 in Seoul, Korea.
Really? Oh,
yes.
My goodness. Yep. Oh, wonderful. And Are you still playing basketball now?
Well, I think I am. I just go out there and practice with the guys.
Okay, you say you think you are.
He's an old man in the group now, you know, so they, you know, got to have, so it's a way for him to get his workout on. You
know. Okay.
But, you know, Albert was enshrined into the Hall of Fame, you know, and I've had the privilege of playing with these Hall of Fame guys. I mean, you know, and what, as far as I remember, one of the stats, you may still hold that record of the best highest shooting percentage. We were 6-for-6 in one of those championship games, and I think that record still stands. You know,
that was actually one of the Gold Cup games. I was playing in Belgium with the U.S.
Oh, okay.
And that was the that is the record.
Oh, that's wonderful! Congratulations. Did you play as well, Charles?
I played on those teams in Casa Colina, you know, but I came later on, but you know, we still had a dominant team. But you know, that, you know, they I didn't get any of those national championships, although we did go to the Final Four two or three times when I was there, and you know, I actually coached that team afterwards. I was the last coach of the Condors before they disbanded.
Okay, did you leave the country at all? Like Albert?
We went to Canada to play in the playoffs one year.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I was a coach then, so, you know. But, you know, and I know we don't have much time. You know, basketball is a passion of mine, just like Albert's and all of that. But, you know, the other thing about Albert is he and I are in the trucking business together now.
Oh! And,
you know, so we're kind of new at it, but we're doing it. And, you know, just quickly, you know, I got into the business and I told Albert about it, and he wanted to get in. He's like, I'll go with you. I said, okay. So that's where we are.
Is that Amazon?
Yes. You know, we have.
Congratulations.
I have a lot of faith in Charles. He's coached me. He's also been a mentor to my son. He's also a veteran, and he has a passion for basketball. And then he coached along with Charles, and then eventually on his own, he's no longer coaching the team I play for. But Charles and I have been friends for quite some time, and he's I trust him, and that's why when he told me about the business, I said, I'm in with you. Let's do it. Let's go.
All right.
Now let me show you. I have a couple of videos I want to show you. Albert was in a video. With his daughter when she was small. It was a Mars candy bar, and his son was in a video. You guys may have seen this. It was a Guinness beer commercial. I'm going to show you those videos, and believe me, you know, and then we'll step out and let the show be gone, move on. But you know, these were great videos, especially the one with his son when it's so. Give me a second here. I got like 1,000 things on my screen. Bear with me. This is the one with the him and his daughter. Can you guys see that?
Making love a little sweeter.
That was him and his daughter real quick. But then, now let me show you the Guinness one. Yeah, because I don't want to pick up.
Make it life a little sweeter.
Okay, his life is sweet, but we're going to move on.
Well, that was super. Congratulations. How old is the baby now?
My youngest is 32.
The one was in the commercial. That she's 32?
She's 32. She was 32. Wow. At the time, she was 2.
Oh, my goodness. Well, she's a celebrity. Thank you so much for that inspiring story.
Okay, now I'm going to show you the Guinness book, the Guinness commercial, and then we'll go move on.
I think Matt had a question. Didn't you, Matt, for Albert?
No, I just wanted to say congratulations for being a Hall of Famer.
Thank you, for sure, huh? That.
He's in my friend Hall of Fame too. So
that's great.
So you on our team now, Albert?
Yay!
All right.
See this video, and then we're gonna tune out and let the great commercial.
Your son is wearing the red jersey.
His son is the one in the red red jersey. Yeah. And the gist of that commercial is these guys got in the wheelchairs to practice with this guy so he can, you know, to get better. So, he was the only, there was one guy who was disabled, but the other ones got in to play with him to help train with him. So,
wow, that was amazing. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Sure, sure. That's Joshua is his son who was, he played ball with us a lot, just practicing and everything. So, that would be the end of our segment. Thank you, guys. And, hope if there are any veterans out there looking for a job driving trucks, have them give us a call at Operation Confidence.
Amen.
Send an email to us, too, at info@operationconfidence.org. That's info@operationconfidence.org. Thank you so much, Alvin. Now, we want you back again on a regular basis now. Just don't make this your one first and last time, okay?
Thank you, Consuelo. Appreciate it.
All right.
That. Nice meeting you guys.
My pleasure. You know, I see. Is that you, Elmer?
Elmer's on. He's not scheduled, but he's online now.
You online, Elmer? Woohoo.
I think he's just probably listening in to check it out, you know.
Okay. Well, that's cool. Thank you so much, PB. Paralyzed Veterans of America's online. We're happy to have you on board.
They're one of our sponsors, so we'll show their video at the end, like always, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, Brooke, please introduce our second speaker.
But I'm sorry about that. Yeah, I'm here. I'm just listening in on you guys.
Oh, we're so happy to have you. Why don't you introduce yourself real quick and tell us just something real quick about PBA.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I just don't have my video on, but basically I'm the president of the Paralyzed Veterans of America, California chapter. We're a nonprofit 501c organization, and we're housed right there at the Long Beach VA Spinal Cord Institution Center on the second floor. But we're currently working from our homes because of the pandemic, but we've been trying to do as many things we can for our veterans during this pandemic. And we're pretty proud of being able to reach out to a lot of the inpatients there who've been kind of isolated during this pandemic. We've been able to provide a lot of hygiene items, toiletries for the men and the women there. And we also provided iPads so that they can contact their families, you know, doing virtual conversations. And so, you know, it's a passion for me to be there to help veterans. And these paralyzed veterans, I tell you, they are amazing. You know, these guys are been dealing with this pandemic, and, you know, I'm really proud to be there in this position. And Consuela and Charles is a member of our chapter, you know, and I've been friends with Charles for many years. Matter of fact, we were deacons in the same church together, you know, so Charles and his family, you know, they're like family. And you guys are now, I consider you guys my extended family. And I appreciate this invitation and all the things that you do out there, Consuela. You guys are definitely an amazing organization. And we appreciate you, and we support you in any way we can.
Oh, we're so happy to have your support. You have no idea. We're very honored.
All right.
Cool. We're going to be on. Oh, by the way, PVA has a segment, a monthly, or it may be bi-monthly. We don't know yet, but I know they're going to they're one of our segment hosts. So we're excited to have you involved.
Yeah, I just sent the information to Dick. We'll probably be there either the third or fourth Sunday, okay?
Okay, great. Each month or by month?
Yeah, every month.
Okay, great.
Once a month.
Thank you so much. We're very honored.
For sure.
Okay, so Brooke, please introduce our second guest speaker for today.
You got it, Connie. Captain Wendy Childress, monthly segment host, Living Life Completely, is a retired Army chaplain who served in the Army and the California Army National Guard as an associate pastor. She worked in the nonprofit sector in various capacities for over 15 years and has a development associate, associate director of financial development, vice president of marketing and special events, and served as an educator for over 7 years. A member of the American Red Cross DAT Disaster Action Team in several states and in the roles of competition coordinator, Act So chair, and religious chair for local branches of the NAACP. Wendy earned her BA in psychology from Cleveland State University, Master of Arts in theology from Fuller Theological Seminary, and is currently completing her Doctor of Ministry degree. Take it away, Wendy.
Thank you, Brooke. Thank all of you. If you don't mind, I'd like to open with prayer real quick. I won't
Please.
Be long.
Before you start your prayer, can you turn your light on a little bit? We can't see that pretty face.
Let me see if I move it.
That's way better, but move it a little bit closer. Actually, you put it behind your computer, but that's fine.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
There. Is that better?
Much better.
All right. So I'll be quick with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and the opportunity to gather together. We thank you for being the God of first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh chances, Lord. I ask your grace and mercy, your covering, your guidance and wisdom upon each and every person that is a part of this organization and this show and all of those under the sound of my voice. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. And
amen.
I just want to, again, thank you all for having me. I'm sorry about that noise you just heard.
My guest
is a fellow friend and fellow chaplain retired as well, captain. His name is Marcus Banks Bay. He is And just a little bit about Marcus. Marcus is a management and counseling professional. And as I said, an Army retired chaplain and captain with a demonstrated history of providing executive spiritual coaching and counseling services, skilled at solution-focused counseling, leadership development, conflict resolution, crisis management, public speaking, and nonprofit program management. He also is currently working on his doctorate in clinical neuropsychology at the California Southern University, Costa Mesa. Prior to this, he spent over 19 years in the United States Army, where he earned an MDiv in professional chaplaincy from Liberty School of Divinity and a BA in criminal justice from Kent State University. He is also an author, and he has a new book coming out titled Dig Deep, and it is due out sometime this month. Hello, Marcus. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for that humbling introduction there, Wendy, and thank you all for having me on the show today.
My pleasure.
Thank you for being willing to be a part. So if you don't mind, Marcus, can you tell us a little bit about your Army or your military service?
Oh, absolutely. I went into the Army at the age of 19. I enlisted out of Ohio, Kent State, as a matter of fact, after 2 years of ROTC. Because I wanted to be a leader, and it was a life-changing experience. So it was an enlisted period of 8 years, and I also completed my officer period of another 7 years. So I did a total of, it was actually like more like 9 years. Anyway, the point that I'm making is that I did a long time in the Army.
So, exactly. Listen, 2 years and is a long time.
Right, because sometimes what we do, because I had an injury, right? So sometimes what we do is we kind of dismiss our injured time, the time that we were rehabilitating and kind of quote unquote laid up where we weren't entirely on our feet. And that time I'm still integrating into my service period.
And you should mentally. You should. And I will share with you all that Marcus and I are both Ohioans. So we're fellow Ohioans. And nothing is coincidental. Marcus and I both deployed last at the same time, and both of us ended up at JBLM. Well, I got there before he did with an injury, and I'll just share. I was coming down the hallway from my room, and I heard his voice. It's like, that's Marcus. And we had both deployed to the Middle East, and we both came back injured. But that's okay. God has a plan, and it all worked out. So that's what we're going to get to. Marcus's God's plan for Marcus's life. Because, again, my segment is all about wellness and what is life like after the military and how do you transition and live your best life? Because for many soldiers and servicemen, let me just say many service men and women, it's hard to transition and it's hard to come back and integrate. So, Marcus, what has that looked like for you?
Yeah, and you make a whole lot of correlations, and it's definitely been a divine experience for Wendy and myself, as she's described. For me, it's been very challenging and triumphant at the same time. The reason why I entitled my book Dig Deep is because that's the process that I had to engage in. Having spent so much time in the Army, it creates a portion of your identity. And being injured, what also happens is it creates a space of injury in that identity as well. And being a chaplain, being a captain, transitioning into clinical psychology and understanding these different paradigms, if you will, I had to engage that process with myself and really understand the identity that I was separating from. And separation from the Army, going from the identity of a captain to a civilian, going from a well-performing soldier and officer and spiritual leader to a sense of this idea of incapable because I'm injured, because I can't walk, because I can't run, because I can't perform. That's very difficult. And then to be, in a sense, I'll say forced to separate, a medical separation, a medical retirement, though it's advantageous to my civilian transition, it's still something that I have to prepare for mentally, physically, emotionally. And this is something that, again, I had to dig deep in order to really come to understand and transition into. So the mental health, the emotional health, it's an engaging process. And that is what it looked like for me. And I've been able to talk to other veterans about it. I've been able to talk to soldiers, especially there at JBLM. Wendy and I have had a great friendship before our deployment and afterwards. So having the relationships, the foundation of my book is nurturing the relationships that I have with my faith, family, friends, fitness, and finances. And that helped me establish my purpose, my plan, creating patience and establishing persistent perseverance. That is my 10-step philosophy, if you will. I call it my 5x5 side-by-side process. So that's what it's looked like for me.
Wow, that's an amazing story. May I call you Marcus?
Oh, absolutely. That's what I'm going to turn around if you do. So.
Okay. I didn't want to get too formal, but that is an amazing story. I mean, you're doing such wonderful things now. So congratulations.
Thank you.
And keep up the good work. I know Wendy's going to have you back on her segment on a regular basis. Hi, Wendy. He's coming back.
Go ahead, Marcus.
Excuse me, what you said?
He wanted to say something. Marcus did. I told him to go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, I'm just saying thank you because just having the ability to talk to our veterans. I mean, what got me back into the Army as a captain, officer, was the unfinished business addressing this issue of suicide awareness, right? I'm a survivor of that. My brother 15 years ago completed suicide, and there was this issue that was lingering that went unanswered in regards to my emotional health, something that needed to be completed and healed. And that's why I became a chaplain. So I went through that clinical process, hospital chaplaincy, military chaplaincy, and being able to have those very healing conversations with my soldiers was very important to me. And it became a very fulfilling career. And I'm still able to engage that with the people around me. And another reason, like I said, why I dug deep and I wrote this book. So I'm absolutely here for all the listeners.
Well, listen, we want to hear more about it, especially the part about you experiencing with your brother the suicide. I mean, there's a lot of listeners out here that needs to hear your story. Mention your book. Well, we do have to move on. Our time is running out. But what's the name of your
book?
Let
me share my website.
Website again, Dig Deep.
Yeah. And you can go to my website, Marcus Banks Bey, BanksBey.com.
Repeat it again, please.
Marcus, MARCUS, Banks, like, filling them up in Bel Air.
Right.
BEY.com. MarcusBanksBey.com.
And Wendy, you'll get his Dig Deep, right?
You'll get his information so we can put it on our resource page as well, okay?
I sure will. Thank you, Marcus, for your time.
Thank you. Oh, absolutely.
Make sure you come back. Now, Taylor, please introduce our next guest.
Sure, Connie. Ms. Dorsey Dujon is a returning monthly segment host and founder of Make Music Los Angeles, a nonprofit 501c3 organization dedicated to creating educational, cultural, and family-inclusive events for all of Los Angeles County. Throughout her career as a trade show producer and exposition manager, Dorsey was active on several advisory boards, St. Basil in Chicago, Hands Across Watts, the International Association for Exhibition Management, for which Dorsey became a certified exposition manager. Dorsey formed a consulting firm, Dorsey Dujon and Associates, with clients, the American Dental Association, National Exhibition Center, Birmingham, England, and the British Tourist Authority. Welcome.
Hey, girlfriend, you're on mute. You're muted.
Okay. There you go. Forget that. Thank you very much. It's really good to be here today.
So tell us about what you're doing with Make Music LA. And you have a big upcoming event, and you just was elected to an office and all that good stuff. You got to push in a few minutes, but tell us all about it.
Oh, well, it's been, like for everybody, it's been an incredible year. I mean, things, up and down, roller coaster, the pandemic in between all of it. And then a board seat became available on the West Adams Neighborhood Council Board. And so I thought, because I've been involved with the neighborhood councils for a very long time as a member of the planning committee for the big Congress. So I thought, well, I think maybe now is the time that I should apply myself and serve. And so I ran for the board seat, and quite fortunately, I actually won.
Whoa! Yay!
So it's just in time for Make Music, and I actually planned to have a very small event in the neighborhood. So I'm going to have a concert that is kind of very small because we can't, you know, get permits for big things right now. But we'll do something small in a neighborhood park. So I'm very happy about that.
But, which, you know, park is that? Is it called neighborhood? Where's what park you said?
The neighborhood park? It's actually going to be a small neighborhood park. It's Vineyard Recreation Center. And there's a little small, it's almost like a pocket park, but they've got, you know, the playground area for kids and picnic benches, or, you know, picnic tables rather. So families in the evening of June 21st will be able to walk from their homes and over to the park and hear a little music. So we have something very
What's sweet. The name of it again? The name of the park? Where is it?
Vineyard Recreation Center.
And where is it located?
It's located, I don't have the exact address, but it's
okay.
It's right in the West Adams area.
So. Okay, and we'll put it on the website as well.
Yeah, well, we can't make it too big.
Yeah, that's true too.
That was the question I was going to have for you, Dorsey. You know, because I know things are different during the pandemic than when you can't have all these big venues where the people packed in as of yet. But I was going to ask you, would any of the Make Music LA sites, you know, usually there are a bunch of them. Are there certain social distancing rules in place, or?
Yes. We ask people to be mindful of wearing their masks and to also, you know, keeping that social distance. So most of our events are outdoors, which makes it great and easy for that. And just like this one in the park, we'll be outdoors and people will. I was at the park yesterday and folks are great about it. You know, children had on their masks and their parents were there and it looked like it will be perfect. And then, in other parts of the city, like in Hollywood, on Hollywood Boulevard, you know, folks will be social distancing. They'll be paying attention to. Yeah, it's really important. We want to be able to get past this.
Yeah.
The only way we can do that is if we, you know, follow the rules.
Absolutely.
But, you know, today I wanted to talk about why music right now is particularly important. And during this pandemic, all of us, you know, we've been in our homes and frustrated, a little anxiety driven, just wanting to get out and do something. But in terms of the arts and music, music is what I wanted to really talk about, is how therapeutic it is. And after coming in, after listening to Marcus and the struggles that he went through, this is something that I think most of us in the country now have shared, that type of an experience, and one in which we had no idea was going to happen. But how we got through it was by listening to music and with arts and crafts. So I want to give a little bit of history of the origins, and then I want to talk about the benefits. So I'm going to actually read from the newsletter of the Medical News Today. And this is, music has been a part of human life for thousands of years. Specifically, experts have found instruments dating back to over 40,000 years ago, suggesting that humans' desire to express themselves or communicate through music is deeply rooted. The use of music for therapy and healing dates back to ancient Greece, but its therapeutic use today began in the 20th century after World War II had ended. The earliest reference to music therapy comes from a 1789 article called Music Physically Considered. The 1800s saw medical research into the therapeutic nature of music grow, and by the 1940s, universities were offering music therapy programs. E. Thayer Gaston, one of three men who pioneered the use of music as a therapeutic tool, had organized and promoted the practice so that it would become an accepted type of therapy. Now, there are many music therapy associations around the world, and music therapists work in private care, education, and social care. The benefits. There are extra benefits listening or creating music that talking therapies may not be able to offer. For instance, learning and practicing a piece of music can improve memory skills, coordination, reading, comprehension, and math skills, and it can also give lessons in responsibility and perseverance. People can also enjoy a great sense of achievement from creating a piece of music, which can help improve their mood and self-esteem. Music therapy can also introduce people to many different cultures, as clients can explore any type and genre of music during therapy. Understanding the history behind a piece of music can help people connect with the music they are hearing or playing. Another self-expression is a part of taking therapy. Music therapy allows people to express themselves in creative ways, which can be a more enjoyable way of exploring difficult emotions. Lyric analysis is another accessible way for people to explore and process difficult emotions, experiences, or memories through music. For example, a person can find themes and meanings within lyrics and offer alternative lyrics that apply to their life and experiences, which can help them find the words that represent how they are feeling if they are finding it hard to express this themselves. Some of the documented benefits of music therapy include improved self-esteem, decreased anxiety, increased motivation, successful and safe emotional release, increased verbalization, and stronger connections with other people. And that's what we're looking for now, is that's to be right. able to connect again. And
I love that. That is so special. Thank you so much for that. And you're going to come back. Now, when is your the event out at the park? What day is it? I mean, what month is that? Next month?
It's this month. It's June 21st.
June 21st. Okay. Yeah. Well, you're going to come back and announce that. I mean, that gives us a couple of weeks, right?
Yeah.
Don't worry. I'll remind you, because I participate in Make Music Day every year. It's always June 21st, no matter what day of the week it is.
Yeah. Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. That's good.
In Santa Monica.
Mm-hmm. Santa Monica, LA, all over. You know, it's anywhere in the world practically. You can find it. It's a worldwide event.
Yeah, you left that out, girlfriend.
I did.
All right, I got your back, Dorsey.
I know you got her back.
Thank you,
that
girls.
Is so precious. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Hate to move on, but we're starting to run out of time. I'm really happy to tell you this on a monthly note that we're going to have Brooke giving us updates. Hey, girlfriend Brooke, you're going to give us an update. And today is going to be, let Brooke tell you about it. Go ahead, take it away, Brooke.
Thanks, Connie. There are more than 50 active nonprofit organizations that work to provide veterans with service dogs. One of these groups, who's not only providing dogs for veterans, but is also saving shelter dogs, is Shelter to Soldier. Shelter to Soldier is a California 501c3 nonprofit organization that adopts dogs from local shelters and trains them to become psychiatric service dogs for post-9/11 combat veterans suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, traumatic brain injury, and/or other injuries associated with traumatic service experience. Suicide rates among this group continues to rise annually and far surpasses the number of soldiers lost in combat. PTSD is a major problem for our men and women in uniform, and its effects last far and beyond the battlefield. Additionally, every year, approximately 3.9 million dogs are sent to shelters, and of this group, almost a third of them will be euthanized due to space, behavioral problems, or medical complications. Many great dogs are often overlooked at shelters for behavior issues, such as different levels of classic separation anxiety, unruly non-aggressive behaviors, barking, poor house manners, and housebreaking issues. The team at Shelter to Soldier, which consists of professional dog trainers who are experts in behavior modification, are able to modify unwanted behaviors and train the dogs at the elite level of service work needed for their new job. The sponsored service dog will serve the critical role of psychological support to his or her veteran handler. For more information, please contact Shelter to Soldier at sheltertosoldier.org. That email address again is sheltertosoldier.org.
Great, great information. Take it away, Taylor.
Now it's time to hand it back over to Matt to acknowledge a special American Invisible Hero.
Thank you. Today I'd like to honor Sergeant John Hartley Robertson, who was registered as killed in action after his helicopter was shot down during a special operations mission 45 years ago. The Special Forces Green Beret was honored among 60,000 fallen heroes on Washington, D.C.'s Vietnam Memorial. But Canadian filmmaker Michael Jorgensen says he has found Robertson, now 76, living in a rural area of Vietnam with a new wife and children. Jorgensen says Robertson suffered memory loss after being captured and tortured by the North Vietnamese when his helicopter was shot down. The married father of two from Alabama apparently could not remember his past and started a new life with a Vietnamese woman. He is unable to remember his birthday, his American children's name, or how to speak English. Although the documentary's claims are not proven conclusively, Sergeant Robertson's family has identified him as the man they lost in May 1968. In the film, the man said to be Robertson reveals, "They locked me up high in the forest in a cage, and I was in and out of consciousness from torture and starvation. The North Vietnamese soldier hit me on the head with his stick, shouting, 'Americans.' I never said anything, though they beat and tortured me." Among those who believe his story is a missing soldier's sister, Jean Robertson Holly, 80 years old, who had a tearful reunion with him for the documentary. She said, "When I held his head in my hands and looked into his eyes, there was no question that he was my brother."
Wow, that's so touching. Thank you so much, Matt. As always, you have something very special to share. You know, I see that Elmer chimed in. Elmer, before we start closing out the show, we want to thank you so much for coming on today. And I think Charles is going to share
your video.
Yeah.
Our sponsor, so we gotta hype it up. PVA, I'm a member, and we gotta tell people the PVA is a great organization. These guys are doing stuff.
They're known all over the United States and some parts of the world.
It is, absolutely, you know. So,
Thanks, Charles.
Of course.
So why don't we go to the commercial, because we're winding down now?
This is a video. Basically shows some of the things that the PVA is doing throughout the year when we're not in pandemic, of course, but those things will be still happening, and they're still doing things during the pandemic for the soldiers, the members. So
excuse me just a second, Charles. Elmer, tell us, what are some of the things that you're doing for our veterans right now during the pandemic? I know that you have certain virtual activities going on, right?
Oh, yeah.
Real quick, we don't have much time.
I like to play bingo, and so we have a virtual bingo that we have every Tuesday at 2 o'clock, where we invite anyone to come on, and we award a $25 gift certificate for the winners.
Whoa.
We play about four games, and so it's fun. And sometimes we kind of increase the winnings by $100 if you can win within the 65th call. So, yeah, so we have fun. And we also have a weekly chapter chat on Friday at 1 o'clock where we invite anyone to chime in and we talk about all the update things that are going on. Hopefully, the VA is opening up a little more. They're allowing family members to visit the inpatients there at the VA. And so we're trying to do more virtual things. We're looking forward to the 2021 40th National Veterans Wheelchair Games. It's going to be in New York.
Okay.
The 6th to the 14th. So that's going to be a big event.
You'll be back on to tell us more about that for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. We're at that time now. Charles, you going to play?
Play that video. Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to wind it out.
All right, thank you.
Said, you know, so my last name is Whitehead, so I'm going to play that funky music Whitehead today, okay?
And then you take it away, Taylor.
Long Beach PBA, California, chapter USA. The city by the waterfront, where the veterans work and play. Long Beach PBA, California chapter USA. The city by the waterfront, where the veterans work and play. Long Beach PBA,
Long Beach.
California chapter.
Long Beach PBA, Long Beach.
California chapter.
That's great. Thank you so much.
I wrote that song, but it was Downtown Long Beach, but I made a spinoff for the PBA. So check it out. Tell Alexa to play Downtown Long Beach for you.
Okay. Take it away, Taylor.
Before Ms. Connie closes, I would like to remind our listeners about our amazing advertisement rates. We have 10-second and 30-second advertisement slots available. Please email info@operationconfidence.org for more information. Again, that's info@operationconfidence.org.
Thank you. And as always, we want to remind our listeners that our goal for this show is to raise awareness about Operation Confidence and our mission, which is to provide stable housing with a wide range of supportive services, including employment opportunities, counseling, and more for our veterans who are disabled, and many of those who may have experienced homelessness. So if you want to get involved with our grassroots operation, please contact us at info@operationconfidence.org. That's info@operationconfidence.org. And visit our website. We have some phenomenal resources. That's www.operationconfidence.org. Once again, operationconfidence.org. And to look at our check out our resource page. But right now, though, we're going to have to say goodbye and thank you all. Thank our guests for coming on the show today. And thank our listeners and our viewers. And we're going to say bye-bye. Tune in next Sunday, 2 o'clock, same spot. Say goodbye, everyone.
You're listening to Operation Confidence Radio Talk Show, America's Invisible Heroes, with Consuela Mackey, only on LA Talk Radio.